Bantam Doubleday Dell Audio Publishing presents Babyhood by Paul Reiser. Author's note.
Every book I've ever picked up about babies seems to wrestle with the pronoun issue. Should it be him or her? He or she? Are they writing about a baby boy or a baby girl? And it's not an insignificant dilemma, because if you use just one gender, you could alienate half the readers. If you use the combination he or she, you irritate everybody. See, some try to alternate usage, as in, when his baby teeth first come in, she may show signs of fever. Well, this helps nobody. The real diplomats use the baby book version of Ms. They write S/he, which ultimately means nothing. It's not even a word. It's just he with a slash and an alternative S standing by just in case. Basically, they give you all the letters and you pick the ones you want. It's a nice idea, but in practice it's too hard. Plus, no one knows how to say it. Is it sahi or shuhi? Or do you actually pronounce the slash as in she slash he? Who wants this kind of aggravation? The only real solution would be to customize each book with your very own child's name throughout the text. See, this way, even the most technical information becomes warm and fuzzy. For example, don't be alarmed if Dustin's umbilical stump becomes inflamed. This is very common and can be treated easily by lubricating Dustin's inflamed stump with Dustin's favorite ointment. But frankly, we're not set up to do that kind of thing. So I've decided to settle it this way. See, I have a boy, so the book has a boy. On every page, it's going to say he or him. Now, if you also have a boy, you should have no problem. You may begin. If, however, you have a girl, please feel free to go through the book with a pencil and scribble in a little S or her, wherever you see fit. But please don't change any other stuff, because I've worked very hard on it, and I'd be upset if I ever came to your house and saw you messing up my book. Thank you.
In the beginning.
Okay, so here's what happened. We're on a plane, my lovely wife and myself. We're sipping a tasty beverage, eating as many really salty nuts as we feel like, enjoying a perfectly bad movie together. In short, having a grand old time. We had been married several years and gone through the rosy early parts, through all the scary stuff that comes immediately after rosy, and navigated ourselves successfully through enough little ups and downs to land on our feet and know with confidence that we were very good together and very much in love. Life was very nice. So we're on this plane, and across the aisle from us was another couple about our age, traveling with their two children. They had a 2-year-old girl and a very new boy who, though tiny in stature, had a crying scream so piercing it was annoying people on other planes. The parents looked like hell. No kidding, they just looked like life had taken them by the ears and twirled them violently around in circles until finally, exhausted, weakened, and drained of even the capacity to imagine joy, they were flung into the seats next to us. The little girl was running up and down the aisle, tripping on people's luggage, screaming when anybody talked to her, and screaming a tad louder when everyone tried to ignore her and not talk to her. And the baby was wailing, literally without pause, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Somewhere over the Midwestern states, the 2-year-old took a couple of bites of airline macaroni and then reconsidered, shooting the remains quite dramatically onto her daddy's jacket. The mom, whose hair was graying before her eyes and was caked with baby spittle and something else sort of pudding-like, was spending the last of her waning energy trying to shield her eyes from her squirming infant's fast-flying fists. When not occupied roping in their children or apologizing to the growing number of irritated passengers around them, the dad was busy either bending or reaching to find one of a truly frightening number of carry-on bags, collapsible strollers, fuzzy toys, and assorted burdensome baby paraphernalia. There was virtually no conversation between the two adults, and what words were spoken were in the form of barked orders, desperate pleas for help, and bitter assignments of blame. Why are you letting her eat that? I didn't. Well, what, she just opened the jar of macadamia nuts herself? No, she must have gotten it from... Oh, just take it from... I will if you just give me a second here. My wife and I, plastic champagne cups in hand, watched this whole circus for a good long while, and then turned to each other and simultaneously said, May the Lord protect us from ever becoming that. Now, lest you think us unkind, let me point out that we are actually very nice people. And in fact, we'd always planned to have kids ourselves someday. Not today, and not necessarily tomorrow, but definitely someday. However, as we observed these people, we had all the reason we needed to push someday back even later on the schedule. Watching this unfortunate display, all I could think was, why? Why do that to ourselves? I mean, now that we had finally figured out how to successfully live together as two people, why would we want to jeopardize everything with a whole new human being for whom we'd be responsible every moment of every day for many, many years? I mean, the couple dance is tricky enough. Dancing as a threesome would have to be impossible. Three has always been tougher than two. Think of any of your famous threesomes, the Three Stooges. Look at the anger there. My bet is that before Curly was born, Moe and Larry could play together for hours without even a single poke in the eye. How about Huey, Dewey, and Louie? Come on, Donald Duck never had a moment's peace. The good, the bad, and the ugly? I rest my case. Over the years, my wife and I had each argued convincingly every reason both for and against starting a family, but we had managed somehow to never share the same opinion on the same day. She would say, what if we want to travel? And I'd say, well, you can travel with kids. And she'd say, well, not to Africa. Well, who's going to Africa? No, I'm just saying, hypothetically, what if we wanted to pick up and go to Africa? I said, do you want to go to Africa? No, not particularly. So? Yeah, but someday I might. The problem with this type of argument is that on closer inspection, when you list all the things you fear you'd have to give up if you had a kid, you can't help but notice it's actually a pretty pitiful list. We'd have arguments. What else? What specifically are you afraid you're not going to be able to do with a kid that you do now? Okay, sleep? Fine, are we really going to forego being parents so we can nap? Maybe, and what about going to the movies? You can still go to the movies with kids. Yeah, but not whenever I want. You see, this is where the argument starts to crumble. When you realize you would consider not having a child just so you could take an occasional snooze and be available to see Batman Retires the same weekend it comes out, you have to take a good, hard look at yourself and acknowledge, I am a shallow, shallow person. Which, if you need it, can be a perfectly valid reason for the against team. You know, hey, we can't have kids. We're too shallow. On the other hand, batting for the maybe we should have kids team, we both saw the appeal in creating an entire new person who would be, in essence, a tiny us. We spent a lot of time deciding which features of ours we'd want to pass down and which ones we'd be better off to skip. We started engineering the ideal combinations. Okay, your eyes and my nose. Yeah, my teeth and your ears. Your feet, my wrists. You know, you become like mad German scientists, though without the genocide and the blatant disregard of other countries' borders. You do, however, step on unforeseen landmines. You say, your hair and my gums. Oh, really? What's the matter with my gums? Nothing. Okay, your gums. Your gums, my nose, your lips, and your laugh. Okay, but your voice. Yeah. Okay, how about my toes? Really? Yeah, because your toes do a funny thing. You know how the second one sort of drapes over the big one? So nothing. On you, it's cute. You know, hey, it's a trademark, and I wouldn't dream of taking it away from you. But as long as we're starting from scratch, why saddle a kid with that kind of thing? Fine. Okay, so, like I'm saying, my toes, your skin. Yeah, and numbers. I'm good with numbers. He could have that. Okay, and my enthusiasm for soups. Deal? Deal. At one point, the lady with the kids noticed us staring. I got embarrassed and turned back to my in-flight magazine, which had an article on squirrels. You know, when you're on a plane, you start caring about things you ordinarily wouldn't. My wife, on the other hand, who is much nicer and can be, when she has to be, more mature, smiled and struck up a conversation. She said, oh, your baby is just beautiful. Well, the woman was visibly moved. She said, thank you. I hope we haven't made too much of a ruckus. My wife says, oh, no, not at all. My wife can also lie more convincingly than most people I know. The woman said, do you have kids yourself? My wife said, no, but we've been thinking about it. Which really wasn't a lie, but it didn't reflect the larger truth, which was, we were thinking about it now only because the woeful reality that this woman and her husband called their life had all but convinced us to spend our years childless.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?